Welcome to the Federalist Society's Practice Group Podcast, your source for current issues within the legal practice. Today, Roger Clegg, a member of our Civil Rights Practice Group, is discussing a race-based attack on the SAT-2. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speakers. And now, let's hand it over to our speaker for the day, Mr. Clegg.
Hi, I'm Roger Clegg, and I'm President and General Counsel of the Center for Equal Opportunity in Falls Church, Virginia. And I'd like to talk to you all today about the new grandfather clause, a race-based attack on the SAT-2. There is a movement afoot to have the University of California's Board of Regents vote to get rid of the SAT-2 as part of UC's admissions process. The reason, predictably, is to change the racial makeup of the students currently being admitted. And here's an interesting twist. While designed to increase the number of African Americans, getting rid of the SAT-2 will apparently hurt not only whites, but also Asians and Latinos. State Assemblyman Von Tron recently wrote that the proposed move, quote, could diminish opportunities for tens of thousands of UC applicants from minority, immigrant, and disadvantaged families, end quote. Actually, this twist is maybe not so interesting. It's becoming old hat. Last summer, the California Department of Transportation, or Caltrans, proposed to reinstate racial preferences in its federal highway contracting. And it proposed that from now on, these preferences would include African Americans and exclude not only whites, but also Latinos and some Asians. And if you don't get a preference when others do, of course, then the fact of the matter is that you are discriminated against. Tension between African Americans and Latinos in California is not news either. A few years ago, California lawyer Nicholas C. Vaca wrote The Presumed Alliance, the subtitle of which was, quote, The Unspoken Conflict Between Latinos and Blacks and What It Means for America, end quote. Last December, New America Media published a survey that highlighted the extent to which there are tensions between Hispanics, Asians, and African Americans. These inter-minority tensions are not exactly inspiring, but they do point to an obvious solution, which is, as America becomes increasingly a multiracial and multiethnic society, a legal regime that sorts people according to skin color and what country their ancestors came from becomes increasingly untenable. Accordingly, we must embrace without further delay the colorblind ideal rather than a divisive racial spoil system. To foster mutual respect instead of mutual resentment, everyone must know that everyone else is being judged by the same standard without discrimination. And make no mistake about it, getting rid of selection criteria like the SAT-2 because they don't give you the racial numbers you want is a form of discrimination. Suppose the shoe were on the other foot, and the regents were being urged by whites to stop using a test that was resulting in too many African Americans being admitted. One hopes that the regents would simply tell this crowd to get lost. And indeed, there is precedent for rejecting such schemes as illegal. The Supreme Court long ago ruled that the infamous grandfather clauses, which superficially might appear neutral, but were deliberately designed to help whites register to vote at the expense of blacks, were unconstitutional. The inconvenient truth is that, for a variety of mostly cultural reasons, students in some groups, like Asians, are reaching the age of 18 with, on average, better academic credentials than those of students in other groups, like African Americans. The reason for this is not that the tests are unfair. Rather, the reason for this is, in large measure, that more than 7 out of 10 African Americans are born out of wedlock, versus fewer than 2 out of 10 among Asians and Pacific Islanders. These figures were released last December by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in its National Vital Statistics Reports. As the Educational Testing Service has warned in a study published a year and a half ago, quoting here from, quote, the most recent and large-scale synthesis of research on single-parent families in the United States, end quote, studies demonstrate quite conclusively that children who live in single-mother families score lower on measures of academic achievement than those in two-parent families. Since the tests are perfectly valid, what is unfair to those who have worked hard and therefore do well on them is to throw them out because too many students of one color have scored high. Harvard, Stanford, and other top schools recognize the value of the SAT too. Harvard's Dean of Admissions recently announced that the university's own internal studies have proven the efficacy of the test in predicting academic success, noting it as a better predictor than high school grades, for instance. Accordingly, the University of California's Board of Regents must refuse to jerry-rig the undergraduate admission system to ensure a predetermined, politically correct racial and ethnic mix. Instead, educators ought to figure out what criteria will select students with the most willingness and the greatest ability to do the school's academic work, and then apply those criteria to all students, without regard to race or ethnicity, and let the chips fall where they may. What's wrong with that? The University of California's Board of Regents meets every month or two, and it is unclear when they will finally vote on this proposal to eliminate the SAT 2 requirement. The vote could come as early as November 18 to 20. I'm Roger Clegg. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this practice group podcast. For related materials to this podcast and other Federalist Society multimedia, please visit our website at federalsociety.org/multimedia.